Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
American culture is at a crossroads. I'm Kira Davis, and in my new book, Drawing Lines, Why Conservatives Must Begin to Battle Fiercely in the Arena of Ideas, I challenge conservative Americans to stop retreating from the culture. I help you think critically through the pressing cultural issues of our day and offer practical advice and solutions. It's time for conservatives to make themselves uncomfortable and get engaged, get inspired, get moving, and get winning. Pick up a copy of my book, Drawing Lines, available on Amazon at FaithfulText.com or wherever books are sold.
This is the FCB Podcast Network.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay.
Okay, this is a rough one. I've waited some days to talk about this. It wasn't what I had planned for this week, but it's breaking news. It's current news, and I know that there are a lot of people out there who are waiting to hear from me on this. So today we're going to talk about Tyre Nichols and what went on with that whole case. If you don't know the Tyre Nichols case, please look it up. A young man was pulled over and beaten to death by 5 Memphis police officers who are now charged with murder or some type of murder. I haven't read all of the exact charges, but they're being held. And it was brutal. It was brutal. So this is one of the reasons why I declined to just jump right into this. There are so many things going on around this case, or were, that I wanted to wait a few days before I commented, because I've always I pretty much always had this this rule of thumb, as it were. But since Black Lives Matter, and we're, how we get hysterical, especially since George Floyd, we get hysterical about any case involving police brutality. By the way, police brutality obviously is nothing new anywhere in the world. It's nothing new anywhere. Anywhere where people have power over other people, it's going to be abused. So, obviously we've been talking about it more since George Floyd, and there are cases that have come up and people jump to hysterical conclusions right away. I just never think that's helpful. And I never want to be one of those people that just puts my voice in there just because I'm trying to get some clicks. I definitely have a 24-hour rule, because what comes out in the first 12 hours, a lot of times it's either dead wrong or it's just, it doesn't represent the full story. I was waiting to see what happened with the Tyre Nichols case. So I think the way to get into this is to tell you my journey into my journey of watching this unfold and what I was thinking as it was unfolding. And then we can talk about what happened here, why it happened, what are some possible solutions. I want to start off at the top by saying that there will be no excuses for anything, any kind of behavior given in this podcast. Now, as I'm talking through things, as I'm thinking through things, you might hear me say something that feels like a declaration to you, or feels like it's excusing somebody, making excuses for somebody, some kind of behavior, some action. That is not, absolutely not what's happening. I am thinking through this issue. And I have been thinking through it for the last week. What's it been, like 5-6 days since this happened? I have been thinking through it. Probably by the time this goes to air, it's been about a week. So I have been thinking through it privately. And as I think, I'm writing notes, I'm watching the news, seeing what's popping up. So I just want to put that disclaimer on at the top. There are no excuses being made in this podcast. I'm not even saying that something you hear me say is going to sound like an excuse. I don't think so. But like, just in case, I'm just putting that at the top. I have no intention of making any excuses. I'm just putting that at the top. Because the other thing that you get nervous about when you talk about stuff like this in my business is people like isolating little pieces of it. And then when you're just asking a question, or sometimes you're just like quoting someone else, people will isolate that and they'll be like, see, look what they. So I just want to say from the top, and if you hear anybody talking about how I'm speaking about this and they're saying something that doesn't line up with what you know are my values, tell them to come right to the podcast, get it straight from the horse's mouth. Not that I'm a horse. I'm more of a show pony. So when I first heard about this case, you probably heard about it the same way we heard about it before we saw it. And I was already suspicious about the details of the case because we didn't have video. And the Memphis police put out a report on the case, and I can only imagine that what had happened was someone leaked it, because this happened at the beginning of January and we're only just now hearing about it. So this wasn't something that they were like, hey, we're being fully transparent here, we're going to come forward and tell you guys that this is what happened. No, that's not what happened. This case stayed buried for a while. So I'm imagining that somebody forced the hand of the Memphis Police Department, probably Tyre Nichols' family. And so they came out and they said, look, there's this brutal beating. It's caught on body cam. We're going to release the footage tomorrow. They didn't even release it right away when they had that statement. So already I'm like, okay, I feel like something is up here, because if this were the typical narrative that we've been dealing with when it comes to police brutality since 2020, since George Floyd, is that, there's this huge problem with white police officers and black victims, and that it's an epidemic and something that's taking over every police department in the country. Like, that's the media narrative around that type of thing. And there's a lot of clicks in that. right? Outrage sells. And so I knew that if this was a case of a white police officer beating to death a young black man, for sure we would have that video before Memphis police even whispered what was happening. Like, to me, there's no doubt that we would have been talking about that. There would be more riots. So already, you know, I'm like, okay, this is suspicious to me. Memphis PD is holding on to this for some other reason. It's like here in California when it's so crazy, but this is actually policy in San Francisco, really written policy in San Francisco and Los Angeles. I'm not sure if it's state policy, but in the big cities like San Francisco, there is a brutal crime. They don't report the race of the perpetrator. That perpetrator is either black or Latino. Now, it is law that you don't report the race of a perpetrator when you're putting out a description. Like, not just you, the reporter, but the police won't even report it, which is insane to me because obviously that's a huge part of a description. And if you're looking for, say, a rapist or a murderer or somebody who's kidnapped a child, like, you need those descriptions, right? Like, oh, whatever, black man, 45, gray hair, or whatever, white man. But you can give the description if he's a white man. That you'll hear. So it is weird. It's like, it's a giveaway right off the top. It's like, okay, if they haven't included the race in the description of this perpetrator, then it's a minority perpetrator. It's crazy to me, but that is how it is here. So that's always a giveaway here, right? I always know if I'm reading a report and they're very vague on the details, I'm like, well, there's nothing in it for the media company to give the details of this perpetrator because it's not going to outrage people enough. As sad as that is how things go, especially here in California. So it really hobbles law enforcement when they're trying to communicate with the public, and it puts the public at risk for a lot of obvious reasons, but that's how it is here. So, and same with like any time we hear of a mass shooting, if we don't have a description of the shooter or we don't have a description of the criminal, then it's not a white person. Because it doesn't gain the media anything to publicize that. There's no outrage clicks in it. Case in point is the case of the guy who drove his car into, smashed through the gates of the Capitol building. I think, I don't know, like the Southeast Gate, I think. I don't even know my directions, but I was in Washington, D.C. that day. I was there. It was April. It would have been April last year or 2 years ago. And my good friend's husband was having a promotion ceremony. He was getting promoted in the Air Force. And when you're at his rank, it's really cool. You get to choose whatever monument you want in Washington, D.C. Any area you want to hold your promotion ceremony in, you can choose. It's really cool. And so he chose the Lincoln Memorial. And so, and he asked me to deliver the convocation, the prayer. And it was such an honor. So my husband and I flew out and there was a lot of friends and some of their family were there. And I got to deliver the prayer, right? I mean, it was like a giving you body chills moment. Like you're standing at the Lincoln Memorial and you are praying that God will bless this man who is charged with helping to protect the country. It was a great, great honor. But unfortunately, what was happening at the same time that we were there is this crazy person was driving his car through the gates of the Capitol at the other end of the mall. And he killed one or two police officers, Capitol police officers who were in the way. I think he ended up stabbing somebody. He had a knife and he stabbed somebody. It was terrible. It was terrible. They finally took him down. They ended up having to kill him. Well, that was going on. It was a big news event that was happening while I was there. I was monitoring Twitter as we were on our way back to the hotel. But I kept noticing, well, they're not describing this guy's race. Now, this wouldn't have been long after this January 6th. So already everyone's super sensitive, you know, right, about what's going on around the Capitol building. And in that context, everyone was really interested. People were dying to know. And it's like there's clearly cameras around the Capitol building. Clearly, police had their body cams. Clearly, the cameras around the Capitol building would have caught this man at some point. He was in a vehicle, but you could have seen, you know, inside the vehicle. At one point he did get out of the vehicle. That's where he was shot. and killed by law enforcement. But I noticed that there was no description of the man, and I noticed that the story really didn't take off. Now, if this had been, now what, in first reports, media was like breathlessly reporting it, hoping that it was some January 6th weirdo who was out to finish the job. They were so excited for that, but I knew it wasn't that. I knew because they did not release the description. They didn't say anything about this guy, and sure enough, it was a black guy. And so the story has gone away, really. It never really was pursued by the media after that. Do we know what that guy's motive was? Do we know what came of it? What did they find out about why that guy did that? I mean, probably he was just crazy, but we really haven't heard, have we? So that was what I was thinking when the Tyre Nichols thing came up. I was like, okay, something's fishy here because I'm not hearing anything about the police officers. Now Memphis PD is going to say they're going to make us wait. They make this announcement and they say, we're not going to show you for 1 or 2 days. Now we're all sitting around twiddling our thumbs, up to no good, right? Thinking about all of the horrible things that this could be. Almost making it worse, right? Injecting all kinds of theories, and it's just guesswork. It's just guesswork at this point. Now, after seeing the video, I understand that Memphis PD had to get their ducks in a row, and they probably had to do that on more than one level. They probably wanted to lock down the city, make sure that they weren't going to have any huge riot issues because this is a police brutality issue. But also, I'm willing to bet that there are a lot of people behind the scenes doing like the CYA dance, right? Trying to figure out how to cover their own behinds before they let the world at large know what was going on. So they released a video, and it becomes quite obvious that this is not a case of racial targeting. The 5 police officers involved are black, and the victim was black. The victim, Tyre Nichols, a 29-year-old Memphis man and father of 4, was brutally beaten. Now, some people said that before the video came out, I heard people saying this is worse than, or they're comparing it to the Rodney King case. Some people said it was worse. I was like, oh man, because I, to this day, I have those images of the Rodney King video in my head. I mean, I will never forget those images. Never, ever. And God bless, this was before body cams, God bless that female police officer who had the presence of mind to take out her camera and film this. And who knows how many other Rodney Kings were out there. But she caught this one. And so I have to say that's a pretty high standard, because that video is brutal. If you've never seen it, go look it up. When I saw this video, I still think nothing compares to Rodney King, but it was brutal. This video was like, what on earth is going on here? The Rodney King video to me was a lot worse, because all it was first, I don't know how many officers was it? It was a lot. And they had their batons out, and they just kind of like, even when he was sort of like laying prostrate. You know, it's the batons that was so crazy. Like, they were just beating the hell out of him with these batons. And oh gosh, yeah, it was harder with the Tyre Nichols video, because the officers were really like right on top of him the whole time, pushing him, pulling him. He was struggling. They were hitting, they were pulling out the pepper spray. They were doing all kinds of stuff. They were saying all kinds of things. So I wouldn't say, yeah, it's like the Rodney King video, but it stands on its own as a really hard to watch, a brutal video. So that's what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, whoa, this is very disturbing. This is a lot of police officers. And it wasn't until I saw all the angles that I realized exactly what was going on, because it was hard. At first, I was like, are they just pushing and pulling? It looks like they're just pushing and pulling him using the pepper spray, which is painful. I've never been sprayed in the eyes with pepper spray, but I've been around pepper spray when it's been sprayed. Even just to be in the vicinity, it's pretty brutal on your eyes. And it get in your throat. It's nasty. It's not something you know, that you just shrug off. So, but I still couldn't see. But then when you kind of get closer, you get some of the up closer video cam and then the sound. That's the thing that really tipped me over the edge. I was watching the video with no sound for a while. And then I went back, because I watched it multiple times. And then when I went back and turned on the sound, that's the sound is really what does it in. It's like, whoa, you can hear the contact. You can hear him screaming, for mom. I don't know where this happened. Was he just screaming for mom? Because we all are sort of primed to want our primary nurturer, you know, when we're in pain. Or was he screaming for mom because he was in her area, that near her home? It sounded to me like he felt like she was near, that maybe she could hear. Either way, as a mother, that is enough to make you choke up to think, you know, in your son's last moments of lucidity, that he's crying out for you. That's probably a very human instinct. Says a lot about what a mother means to all of us, and what that relationship means, but it also, and what the created order is around that. But it also is just heartbreaking. So anyways, outside of that though, all of that was what I noticed at first. Okay. Second thing I noticed.
Hey y'all, this is Allie Michelle. I'm a conservative social media influencer that has been censored by big tech. So I broke away from the restrictions and started a podcast called Pillow Talk with Allie Michelle. My show is a space to have real conversations about the issues that impact our everyday lives without the fear of being canceled by the big tech tyrants. Subscribe to Pillow Talk with Allie Michelle, an FCB podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Allie, A-L-I-I. Come check out my show. I'll see you there.
Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, second thing. When we talked about the Rodney King case, I remember this, and this is one of the things I was thinking while I was watching this video. I was like, ooh, I don't know if these police officers are going to get the punishment that a lot of us feel like they probably deserve. Because I remember when all that went down with Rodney King, and yes, it was a different time. I understand that. But one of the things that when you talked to the jury members, when the press talked to the jury members afterwards, one of the things they were saying about why they let those police officers off is because the standards for convicting police officers were so tight because it wasn't as cut and dry as it seemed. One of the problems was that Rodney King never stopped struggling really against him and never stopped moving. And that is what the police used to say, like, to justify their abuse, right? They were saying, hey, he was high on PCP. He was high, by the way. Rodney King was a drug addict, I think, until his dying day, sadly. He was high, definitely. And PCP does make you kind of a threat. Like, it's one of those Superman drugs. You hear stories about that all the time, of like guys getting shot and still coming at police officers. That's never been disputed. And so there was that. And then there was the fact that he never stopped moving, even though they told him multiple times, you know, just like, put your hands up, lay on the ground, put your hands in front of you. It's like, he kept trying to get up. And just to go back to the top of the show, not making excuses. I'm remembering what the jury said. And so the jury was saying, these were all of the standards that we were asked to consider while we were considering the verdict. Like, we all think that what happened was wrong, but in the face of the law we were giving, the technicality of the law, it didn't meet the burden of proof. Like, we just couldn't. He kept, the issue was him getting up. Over and over again. That was the issue. So I remembered that when I was watching Tyre Nichols, and I kept thinking to myself, but he's still moving. Now, there's five guys here, right? Five police officers. They're all armed. They've sprayed him multiple times. Why the hell don't you just put the handcuffs on him and throw him in the back of a vehicle? Like, if it's that serious. Just until he calms down or whatever. And so in my mind, I'm like, how could I justify this? If I was a police officer, how would I justify what's happening here? Well, maybe I would say he wasn't still long enough for us to search him. So we couldn't throw him in the back of the police car because he may have still had weapons. He may have had weapons on him. By the way, we don't know why they pulled him over. That, as far as I know, that reason was not given. We don't see that. So we don't see the impetus for that in the video. We just see them getting him, basically pulling him out of his car. Anyway, so I'm trying to like think of all of their defenses, right? As I'm watching it. Well, maybe you wouldn't put him in the back of the car without searching him because he's moving so much. They didn't get to search him. Maybe it's harder than I think to put handcuffs on a guy who's wriggling around. Maybe he was like doing the Rodney King thing and he was on some kind of drugs and he just was like a lot stronger than he looked. I'm just going through all of the reasoning in my head, trying to be objective about it, trying to figure out why on earth they wouldn't just slap the handcuffs on him and take him in for whatever the heck is they're saying that he did. Now, we learned later that Tyre Nichols was not high. He was clean. He didn't have drugs in the system. He didn't have alcohol in the system. As far as I know, he didn't even have weed in the system. So that is not a justification. But he's moving a lot. Okay, so that was the question I had. Then I heard my friend Lawrence Jones, who reports a lot on these cases on Fox News, and he's also trained with police officers for his show Cross Country with Lawrence Jones on Fox on Saturday nights. I know that he's like embedded himself with law enforcement units and learned training techniques and stuff. So I say all that to say that I like really trust his point of view. Like, he's been in the trenches, reporting from the trenches, so to speak. So he's got like a first man point of view. And I heard him saying, well, you know, when they pulled him over, they dragged him right out of his car. Your fight or flight kicks in. You panic. Things happen. It's easy for us to look at something from afar and say, oh, I would do this or I would never do this. But my goodness, your adrenaline starts pumping. And there's a lot of stuff that your body does that you really have no control over. Instinct kicks in and survival kicks in. And so when I heard him say that, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, your fight or flight is in. And in a lot of ways, maybe he wasn't in control of his body. But I heard this other commentary on Twitter, and I want to play it for you now. I think this guy is dead on. It really put it into context for me. Because to me, I was really worried. Now, don't get me wrong. When I saw the video, I was like, these guys are beating his ass. Like, there's no, I don't care what's going on there. It doesn't seem to be justification. But I was thinking back to the Rodney King stuff, and I was thinking, okay, in a court of law, is this going to hold up? Are they going to say, well, he never obeyed us? You know, are they going to go through all those excuses that can turn into technicalities for a jury? I've talked to you guys at length about my brief experience on a jury and how you, as a juror, you may be convinced of the guilt of the person you're adjudicating, but that doesn't mean you can convict them because the law has all kinds of technicalities and you are sworn to obey those. It's not as easy to render a judgment as you think under the law. So that's all I was thinking. But this guy had a great point of view.
I had a conversation with a woman last night about the whole Tyre Nichols situation. And she asked me something that was interesting. She asked me had I seen the video. I hadn't seen it at the time. So she pulled her phone out. We kind of watched it together. And watching the video at the end, she said, I know this is egregious and it's wrong. It shouldn't be done to anyone, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, why doesn't he just stop moving? You know, all he has to do is stop moving. And I said, ma'am, you want to know why he can't stop moving? And she was like, no, I'm trying to figure that out. Why don't you just stop moving? I said, because it hurts. It hurts. And I don't know if you'd have never been beat before or by somebody, but it hurts. You can watch a football game, and the person who got the ball, he trying to juke the defender. He trying to run out of bounds. He died to the ground because it hurts. To get hit hurts. You watch a boxing match. No one just stands there because it hurts. You take kids to the doctor, and they see that needle, and they start crying because it hurts. That's what your body does when things hurt. It moves. But it's like I told her, and maybe she's never experienced something in her life that I don't even know why I said that. It's clearly, we've all experienced things in our lives that hurt. You scrape your knee up and you fall. It hurts. But it's like I told her, even with the whole stop resisting, stop resisting, stop resisting. Police say that to cover up bad behavior. It's hard for anybody to stop resisting when you slang them, Erwa. That's hard.
So I didn't know who this guy is. I'm not the most like up-to-date person, particularly on hip-hop culture. I'm just... I know it's a surprise, but I'm just not. If you could ask me about music, you know, hip hop culture from the 80s and 90s, I could help you out. After that, I had kids and just became a lame old person. I was never cool. I'm not even going to try to lie to y'all and be like, yeah, I once was cool. I was never cool, but I could have at least told you who was in the market at the time. I can't tell you nobody anymore. Honestly, if they don't work for FCB Network, I really don't know. So I didn't know this guy, but he is a hip hop artist and he's got a huge following. I'm sure some of you out there know his music, like his music, and I'm sorry that I'm too lame to even know who he was. That being said, what he said about this is dead on. I couldn't take my eyes off his video. And I thought to myself, yes, that he is exactly right. And I wouldn't have framed it that way. I think I was thinking it you know, I think underneath, but I didn't have the words to verbalize that. That's exactly what it is. Like, of course you don't stop moving. Your body is trying to escape. You're in immense pain. B, there might be something else going on here. There are some reports that Tyre Nichols may have been having an affair with or messing with or talking to the girl or the wife or the baby mama of one of these police officers. His parents deny that. They say that's not true. Now, I don't think parents are the most reliable people when it comes to talking about the personal lives of their children. I don't. I think as a parent, you know the true character of your child. That's why it's so hard, you know, when you talk to a parent and, like, you know, like, their kid did something bad at school and they're always like a bad little kid at school. And the parent is like, oh, but he's such a good boy. It's like, that's not necessarily that mom is lying, but it's like she knows his true character, right? She knows that underneath that, that's who he is, that he is a good boy. Underneath that, he's sensitive or whatever. So I believe his parents knew his character, but I don't, no disrespect to them. Parents are unreliable narrators when it comes to the personal lives of their kids. But we're really not supposed to. There are some things that it's just like they're not supposed to know everything about us. There's a lot that's very personal that I'm not going to share with my kids. Stuff that goes on between me and my husband, you know, like very personal stuff that might involve intimacy, stuff like that. Like, not everything is for parents. So I'm not sure how reliable his parents are when they say, oh, no, that's a lie. He definitely wasn't involved with anybody's girlfriend. It also could have been not that bad. It could have been something like he was just literally talking to her. Now, sometimes when we say he's talking to a person, you know, we mean they're having a relationship, a sexual relationship. But they might have literally just been talking. And one of these guys just was an abusive narcissist and took it over the top, took it really personally. I don't know. That's a rumor that's out there. It's just a rumor. It hasn't been confirmed by anyone as of yet. Some outlets have reported it, but they have always prefaced it and ended it with, this is unconfirmed. So that being said, they pull him, they yank him out of the car. So if he, now imagine that is true and he knows one or two of these guys. He knows they hate him. He knows he's in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night, you know, nowhere where it's not like a lot of witnesses around. He knows they're all armed. And they pull him out of his car. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He is thinking about running. He is thinking about getting away. Like, this isn't a regular traffic stop where they're just like, sir, could you please put your hands on the wheel and I'll run your license plate and registration. So already it's a heightened situation. And then they immediately start beating him almost immediately. And they keep telling him, give us your hands, give us your hands, give us your hands, show us your hands. Well, just like you heard in that commentary video I played for you, like a lot of times we see this on TV all the time. It's on TV for a reason. These shows have consultants that work in police departments, right? Sometimes police officers, knowing that they're being recorded, will say, a gun. I see a gun, you know, when there's no gun. But they know later on they're going to need someone in a jury to hear that they thought there was a gun. So a lot of times, apparently, this is something that can happen, right? Where the police will just scream, oh, show me your hands, give me your hands, over and over again. It makes it seem like the suspect was uncooperative. But honestly, once again, I'm looking at that video going, there's five of them and there's one of him. Put two guys on each wrist, hold his hands together, and have the fifth guy handcuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I don't buy it. But I do buy that he was in great pain and writhing around. I know when I stub my toe, what do? I jump up and down. I scream, I curse. Somehow it feels better. Somehow it gives that pain other places to go in the body, maybe. There's no doubt this man was in great pain. I mean, he died from these injuries. He died from these injuries. So no doubt he was in great pain. So once I considered all those things, I thought to myself, this really does look like a vile act, a violation of the duty of these police officers. Here's the other thing that I find suspicious about this whole thing is that this group of officers were in a specially created police department called the Scorpion Unit. So there was psychologically speaking, there already was this sort of gang mentality. And you can see that sometimes it happens in police departments. I've seen it. It happens in police departments and they become like a gang. Think about Training Day. I know it's just a movie, but again, these things are, they have consultants on those films. You know, it's not completely out of the realm of reality, but look at Training Day, right? Denzel Washington had his own little squad. They were like the drug squad. They did the drug bust. Did they bust a lot of criminals? Yes. Did they become criminals themselves? Yes. You have a medium level salary and you watch these criminals every day operate in a world where they have millions and millions of dollars and all this power. Sometimes it's sitting right in front of you. Sometimes you get to a bust and there's all these drugs and there's all this money. And if you took $1,000 or $10,000 or you took an ounce of coke or a pound of weed, who would notice? Who would know that you have it? You know what I mean? I can understand how that sort of matriculates into into temptation. And then temptation evolves into a way of life. And then you start surrounding yourself with people who have the same goals as you. That's your squad, your Scorpion Unit, your special squad. Now you give all these people guns. And you give them a badge, which means they have legal authority over people. And you give them this societal value of law enforcement, right? Already people are looking at you a little differently than other jobs in society. I'll give you an example. Today I dropped my daughter off at school. This is California. Everywhere, every public school is weird. There's only one way in and out of school. You got to go down this driveway. And at lunchtime, there is a monitor who she posts herself right in the middle of the road on the way out of school. And if you're a student, you have to stop because you're not allowed to leave campus for lunch. And a lot of kids have cars. So it's her job to check to make sure that the kids aren't leaving campus. And if you're a parent and you have a kid in the car, you need to have a note. And so they'll stop you and ask you for the note. I rarely pick my kids up in the middle of the day. I've rarely had a reason to like stop for that lady. But today, my daughter had a doctor's appointment early. I dropped her off at school in the afternoon and did my little loop and came back up the driveway. And there she was sitting in the middle. And there's a stop sign there. So I stopped at the stop sign. But I knew I didn't need to talk to her. I didn't need to roll down my window. I don't have any students in the car. So she doesn't need to see a note. And I'm not a student. And that's very obvious when you look at me and you look at the car. And you look at the fact that there's only one person in the car. And so I did not consider it a need for me to stop. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even stop when I have my kid in the car because I actually don't owe you anything. I can take my kid on and off this campus whenever I please. So I don't have to show you a note. And I have blown past that person more than once. And what can they do? Nothing. And you just cuss at me as I drive by. There's 5,000 students in that school. They don't know who we are. And so this lady, she put her hand out to stop and I just kind of gave her the old farmer wave, you know, like, hey, how you doing? And kept driving. And then she just put out her arms and then she like, as I'm driving away, she like pointed to me, like, you know, gave me the old, like, I'm watching you, thing, you know, and I'm like, as if I care, lady, I don't owe you anything. You're not the boss of me. I don't even go to school here. I literally have no reason to stop here. But if that had been a police officer, I would have stopped, right? Even though same thing. He's not the boss of me. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not going anywhere wrong. I'm perfectly within my rights to be driving this vehicle on this road right now on the way out of school. But if it had been a police officer, I would have stopped because my idea of his authority is different. So you give people that kind of authority mixed with weapons and money and power, and it's just a toxic combination. So now you've got this insulated group of guys and they become a gang, and that's what this unit, the Scorpion unit, that's exactly what they did. They became a gang. Now, I've seen some reports on the Scorpion unit, and there were, and a lot of reports say, yeah, they actually did clean up a lot of drugs in these inner city areas of Memphis, that's what the purpose was. It's supposed to be guys from the community sort of coming down hard in the community and cleaning up stuff. Now, they did, but the flip side of that was they became a gang themselves. So Tyre Nichols knows he's being pulled over by a gang, and a gang that has immunity because they have badges. Yeah, I bet he was scared. Yeah, I bet he was trying to run. I would too.
Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, y'all. This is Allie Michelle. I'm a conservative social media influencer that has been censored by big tech. So I broke away from the restrictions and started a podcast called Pillow Talk with Allie Michelle. My show is a space to have real conversations about the issues that impact our everyday lives without the fear of being canceled by the big tech tyrants. Subscribe to Pillow Talk with Allie Michelle, an FCB podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Allie, A-L-I-I. Come check out my show. I'll see you there.
I want to say this. I feel very apprehensive about the media frenzy surrounding a lot of police brutality cases. Sometimes I look at these things and I say to my, like, there are some things I look at and I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cut and dry. This was a real a-hole who took advantage of his position and caused the death of this human being on purpose. And he should pay a price for abusing his badge, because we have to be able to trust law enforcement. We have to. But sometimes I think, well, yeah, maybe this person did get out of hand, but we really have to be careful about prosecuting police officers the same way we prosecute average citizens, because we need law enforcement. And if we're going to let some cases that are on the bubble or have a lot of gray areas, if we're going to get those, let those be decided in the court of public opinion, then it's going to make it harder to recruit good law enforcement officers in the future. Who is going to want to put themselves at risk if they have a shootout with somebody, like, you know, in the other day in LA, officers shot a guy. He was breaking into his family's house. He was schizophrenic. He was violent. He was known to the department, to that local department. They had gone on multiple calls to his house. He is supposedly on medication, but he had gone off his medication and the family had kicked him out of the house because he was violent. So one night he came back. He was trying to break into their house. They locked him out. He was breaking in a window. So the family called the police, saying, this guy is dangerous. He's trying to break into our house. The police show up and he doesn't comply with their demands. And when they approach him, then he pulls out a knife and he starts threatening them. And then he starts to run. You know, he's running down the street. Police officers are calling after him. They're telling him to stop. What do? They shoot him. They shoot him in the back, by the way. He was shot in the back, very close to his family's house. Now this family is suing the police department, saying, we didn't call you to come murder him. We called you to come help him. And I can understand that point of view. But when I look at it from the police's point of view, and this is Los Angeles, where there's a lot of crazy people on the street, not only, like, he's got a knife, he's already proven himself to be dangerous. He's trying to break into this house to do God knows what. He's schizophrenic. He's a known offender to the police department there, and he's running away with a knife. Like, you don't let that guy run into public. You don't. This is a family neighborhood. There are kids around. What if he runs into a school? What if he ran onto a playground? You know what I mean? Like, those kinds of things add some gray area to this discussion. It's really easy to say, well, you know what? Those police officers, they should be tried as regular citizens. They should be. I don't think it always is the same thing. I don't think it should apply. And I think it could make it dangerous. Think about being a young man or woman and thinking, if I'm put in a situation where I am not absolutely sure about something, and my training is to protect myself and those around me at all costs, and then I make a move that the public doesn't think is right, am I going to jail someday? And then what happens to a police officer in jail, in prison? You know what I mean? So I do worry. I do. I think long and hard about all of these cases when they come up. It was another reason why I didn't want to pop off on the Tyre Nichols thing right away. I feel very nervous in the direction all of this discussion is going. I'm just being very honest with you. I do. You know, and this was the other thing. I said this during the George Floyd case, because George Floyd was not an innocent man. It wasn't like Tyre Nichols, so far sounds like he fits the definition of an innocent man. He doesn't even have a criminal history. George Floyd, not the same thing. He wasn't a good guy. None of that applied to him. But when I was discussing his case and the reason why it ignited such a firestorm, I said it's because what you were looking at was a police officer who had stopped looking at the people he was serving as humans. And when you do that, it is easy to look at them as animals and treat them as such. And that's what needed to be addressed. That's what needs to be punished. And that's what I saw with these guys, right? To them, this guy was an animal. Their humanity had been replaced with something else, probably as a result of all of the convergence of all of these qualities that I just talked about, right? Like being in this gang, this type of like legalized gang, you know, having weapons, having a certain status in the community, access to money, access to power. that this guy didn't deserve their care. And I think when we talk about, well, we need better training for police officers, I think that is one thing that really has to be addressed over and over again in an occupation like that. I really do. I think it must be so easy to begin to look at the people you serve as less than, as others, as monsters, as animals, because you're not going into society and seeing the best. Right. If somebody's calling the cops, it's not because the best of humanity is on display. Right. You're already walking into a situation where you're watching people treat each other poorly, abuse each other, abuse children, abuse their wives, gangbangers shooting kids. Like you're seeing the dregs of humanity if you're being called into certain situations. And I can imagine that after a while, you start to lose heart. You start to become callous. I know that they do this with 911 operators, right? That those people have to come off their rotation every so often and do some kind of like retraining or counseling. Or I know this because you can get to a point where you become insensitive to the callers, and that's when mistakes happen. We've seen and heard terrible stories of people who have called 911 and the operator thinking that it's a joke, or treating it callously, or thinking that person is exaggerating and brushing them off. And then that person dies because they really did need the help. Those are people who have become callous to the signs. So you got to pull them off. You got to retrain them. It's like an ongoing process that you always should be going through. Just like, as stupid as it sounds, you have to take these stupid sexual harassment training courses in California every other year when you work at a company. And they're dumb. I mean, and they're really dumb. I've taken them. Sometimes you have to take them if you work for yourself, even. It's so dumb. Yeah, and they're really a pain in the butt. They truly are. But even those, you know, you have to refresh them every couple of years. And it should be the same way for sensitivity training. I'm not sure what it would be called, but probably it's called that, sensitivity training. So part of retraining and upgrading police training, I think, does include sensitivity training. This event was a lot of things. I do believe it was gang violence. I would classify this as gang violence. I would classify that Scorpion unit as a gang unit, as a gang. It is clear to me that Tyree Nichols was beaten to death on purpose. I don't have any questions about that, but I want you to know I did spend time thinking about it. I didn't just assume it. That was the other thing I don't like to do. I feel like a lot of conservatives like me feel pressed when these things come up to declare themselves, hey, I'm saying the right things about this, and I want everyone to know I'm on the right side here. And you come out right away, almost because it feels like some people need to prove that they're down with the cause, right? That I'm not like those other terrible conservatives. Look at me, I've got the right opinion on this. I feel conservatives sometimes feel pressed to speak loudly and quickly on these things. That's not me. I wanted to take my time and get the details. And it also took me a day or two to get up the nerve to watch the video. It's hard. I'm a mother, so I find these things hard to watch. I don't find joy in watching them. And I'm not fascinated. Like, I'm not interested in them. So I have to make myself do it. So we know it's a lot of things. It was unacceptable. I think it was a crime. I think Tyree Nichols' family does have a case against Memphis PD. The thing it was not was white supremacy. And that is the argument that has come out that is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's not even ridiculous. It's pathetic. It is truly the most pathetic argument. And the usual suspects, right? The progressive leftists, people like Jemele Hill and weirdos like that are like, if you don't see white supremacy when you look at this, you don't know systemic racism. You know, this is a system of white supremacy. I'm like, really? Are we going to let these five black guys off the hook in the name of white supremacy? Because that's what you're doing. Like, that's ridiculous. Absolutely not. These black men beat up that black man. And we still don't know why. But what we do know is that Tyree Nichols is dead. Tyree Nichols begged for his mother as he was sprayed in the eyes multiple times with pepper spray, kicked, beaten, slapped, kicked in the head. That was, there was not, there, that was not white supremacy. So it is really pathetic to try to exonerate them. Would Jemele Hill say that we're supposed to let these police officers walk free? Then should we put white supremacy on trial then and not these officers? I mean, talk about grasping for straws. How pathetic. How pathetic. Because guess what? Black people can be awful too. White people can be awful. Asian people can be awful. We've had 2 mass shootings in California in the last week, both perpetrated by Asian assailants. Yeah, Asians can be awful people too. Guess what? Everybody can be awful. Evil does not have a skin color. Evil does not have a race. Evil doesn't even have a religion. Evil is a problem of the soul, not the pigmentation.
Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey y'all, this is Allie Michelle. I'm a conservative social media influencer that has been censored by big tech. So I broke away from the restrictions and started a podcast called Pillow Talk with Allie Michelle. My show is a space to have real conversations about the issues that impact our everyday lives without the fear of being canceled by the big tech tyrants. Subscribe to Pillow Talk with Allie Michelle, an FCB podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Allie, A-L-I-I. Come check out my show. I'll see you there.
Memphis, I think, is The city of Memphis is largely black, isn't it? 60%? Let me look this up real quick. 64% of Memphis is black. 64%. Now, the police department didn't reflect the black population. I think before 2020, it was something like 35, 40% black. The police department was Black Lives Matter. Their whole thing was this. That's why this is not, I'm going to say this, this is not a problem of white supremacy. This we can blame squarely on Black Lives Matter. I do believe it. I do believe it. And I believe that Black Lives Matter has been the most detrimental thing to black people that we have seen in 30 years. That I do mean. I'll stand by it. Because what happened after the 2020, the summer OBLM, when A, we were defunding police departments, and then B, we were supposed to like bow down to all these new affirmative, for lack of a better term, affirmative action standards, right? Black Lives Matter suddenly had everybody like, well, we need to make half of XYZ department black. That's how we fix this. We gotta make sure. So now the Oscars have all these silly rules about how your picture can't qualify for Oscar contention if 30% of the crew is not black or X amount of the cast is not black. And to me, that's absolutely absurd. And you're going to do nothing but lower the quality of your product because there aren't that many black people in the industry, period. Like, there aren't enough black people in the industry to fill those spots. Is it because black people are directly left out? Well, in some cases, yeah. Sometimes that does happen. But also, we're only 13% of the population. And of that 13%, how many of that 13% go into the entertainment industry? And of those people who go into the entertainment industry, how many people go into cinematography or sound design? You know what I mean? I'm not even just talking about the actors. I'm talking about the crew that you need to qualify for the. So suddenly you're reaching into places where you have people who really aren't qualified yet, right? They're still getting educated or they're just getting into the business. And you're putting them on these multi-million dollar productions. And yeah, the quality is going to get lowered. Your pool is smaller. Your pool of talent is smaller to choose from. Well, what happened in Memphis? Black Lives Matter rolled through there and said, well, we want to make sure that you have X amount of police officers on your force. Okay, well, how many black people go into law enforcement? Not as many as they liked, clearly. Plus, we have other issues, which we talk about all the time on this show, right? The public school system, I say it all the time. If you want to point to a place that is systemically racist, it's the public school system. If you want to fix systemic racism, y'all should start in the public school system. And so we see the horrible graduations for particularly black men coming through public school. And then even to go on to college or to go on to post high school education. Again, all I'm saying is your pool of people is way smaller to choose from. So what did the Memphis Police Department have to do? They had to lower the standards to get into the police department. And all five of these officers were recent hires based on the lowered standards of the Memphis Police Department, which were based on the demands of Black Lives Matter. Why? Because it sounded more fair. And look what happened. A black man lost his life because of Black Lives Matter's more fair standards. This is from Action 5 News in Memphis. After 2020, Memphis PD recruits no longer needed an associate's degree or 54 college credit hours and could just get by with only 5 years of work experience. So I guess if you were a security guard, which anybody can get a security guard, a Family Dollar or whatever, you know, you've seen security guards. I was at Ross, that's a clothing store here, like a discount clothing store here, like Marshall's, lower level Marshall's. And, you know, there's a security guard. It's obviously some guy who had to come out of retirement to pay his rent or whatever, maybe pay for his son's college. Or this guy had no business being a security guard. If something pops off in there, he couldn't barely walk and can't carry a weapon. So anybody can be a security guard. But I guess that was, as long as you've got that 5 years experience, you could join the Memphis PD. Why would they ask for an associate's degree or 54 college credit hours? It shows you can commit to something. It shows you can work hard at something. I don't think it's the degree that matters, but it's the idea that you're committed to bettering yourself. To go on, it says in 2021 and 22, recruitment was struggling so badly that the department offered $15,000 signing bonuses. Last year, the department also reportedly lowered the fitness requirements, doing away with the timed physical ability test. So again, that might seem like nothing. All right, well, you can't complete. They don't make you run an obstacle course anymore. All right, well, fine, whatever. Maybe your police department isn't the most physically fit. Fine. Lowering the fitness requirements. Okay, who cares? Giving $15,000 signing bonuses. All right, that's nice. You know, you don't make a lot of money in police work. Why should that matter? But it all adds up to lowering the standards. This is a job where you are responsible for the lives of others. Yeah, you should be able to run a mile and not be out of breath. And to offer a $15,000 signing bonus, now, I'm all for signing bonuses, but that is a huge amount. You've already lowered the standard, so now you're already recruiting people out of a pool of people who didn't even have the gumption to go get 54 college credit hours. Like, didn't even want to commit to that. Couldn't even commit to disciplining themselves enough to complete a timed obstacle course. And then you're saying, well, and I'm giving you $15,000, which to a lot of people is a lot of money. Yeah, it just seems like you're creating this recipe for disaster. The department even offered waivers for felons to join the force. One of the police officers, Haley, had a troubled past and it seems to have been overlooked by Memphis PD in the hiring process. NBC reported that he was accused of taking part in the beating of an inmate named Cordelius Sledge about 8 years ago when he worked as a corrections officer for the Shelby County Corrections Department. In a 2016 lawsuit filed against Haley, he was accused of punching Sledge in the face while another officer slammed him face first into a sink. A local news report from 2021 praised efforts by the department to recruit more, quote, people of color due to their purported likelihood to use force far less frequently than white male officers. I don't know where on earth they came up with that, because guess what? I've always joked that the title of my memoir was going to be A-Holes Are Everywhere, because I've met racist white a-holes. I've met racist black a-holes. I've met them in the suburbs. I've met them in the country. Some of the nicest people I know are rednecks that live in trailers and gangbangers that live in the hood. Like, you don't know where you'll find good people and bad people. They are everywhere. They are not, like, confined to one ideology or one race, or, like, this whole conversation that's gripped America these days about what's good and what's bad. It's so skewed and twisted and perverted. Takes in all the wrong information when it comes to how we judge people's character. And it's putting us in danger. It put Tyre Nichols in danger. And he lost his life for it. He paid for that mistake with his life. Anybody who lived in the hood can tell you that that's a damn lie. That's a damn lie. That black police officers tend to use less force. Oh, give me a break. Did I tell you guys about my neighbor down the street back in Gary, Indiana? Gary, Indiana? Because Gary was largely minority. And surround, you know, and we had our own units, little units of cops, the drug squads, and they did operate like gangs. And this one squad of police officers, they got a bug up their butt about my neighbor down the street. He lived at the end of the street and he had a beautiful dog, a Weimaraner named Ghost. She was gorgeous. She was beautiful. She was like such a loving dog. Like, you didn't need to put a leash on her. She would run around the neighborhood in an area where people typically did not like dogs. Everyone liked Ghost, and she was beautiful too. And he was a great neighbor. He bought this old house down the street and he renovated it. You know, he helped her street look better. He was a great neighbor. And got into it with these people, with these cops on the force, and they didn't like him, and they would pay him visits. These aren't white guys. These weren't white guys. They would pay him visits down the street, and they would always have their weapons out. And one day they decided they didn't like something. He reported them, I think is what happened. He ended up reporting their misconduct, and they didn't like that for obvious reasons. And they came and they they tried to tell him, you need to withdraw this report. And he was like, I'm not withdrawing the report. And they shot his dog. They shot his dog to death in front of him. They killed his dog. And he was gone. I think that weekend he left. I think, yeah. And he didn't sell the house. He didn't do nothing with the house. He got up out of Gary and left. Went west, actually. He's out here. He's out here in California now, not too far from us. He was like, I can't do this anymore. So, but those, you know what I mean? Like, this is not, to me, this is not new. What a crock. What a pathetic, sad, ignorant, perverted, ridiculous twist to pretend that these men in any way were sort of subjected to white supremacy and that's why they acted like they did, or to pretend that by putting black people in charge of other black people that somehow they're going to be nicer, the violence is going to go down, attitudes are going to be different. Black people we're not robots, and we're not one-dimensional movie characters. We're people like everybody else. We have feelings and we get annoyed and we get angry and we have the potential to abuse power just like anybody else does. That attitude is so dangerous. That attitude, that's what enrages me the most about this situation. They lowered the standards because Black Lives Matter, what was going on with them, the lies that they've been spreading, the carnage that they have been wreaking in our neighborhoods. It's their fault. It's because they insist that we lower the standards for black people for some reason. That's going to be justice. That is dangerous, especially when you're talking about the people who are committed to protecting our communities and saving our lives. Lower standards? Absolutely not. Maybe we should be asking why black people can't seem to meet the standards and start there. Lift people up instead of knocking the standards down. The narcissism of the Black Lives Matter movement cost Tyre Nichols his life. And that's where the blame should go. And that's where I landed in this case. Everything else is just, it's silliness. It's just pathetic silliness. Jemele Hill, I don't even know why people give that woman a mic. She's a scourge. She is a scourge. She should be ashamed of herself. She is doing black people no favors with that attitude. Oh, that it's just the white supremacy that made these black people. How stupid does she think black people are? How stupid does she think her own people are? That's what just fires me up. She thinks we're stupid. We're so friggin' dumb that we don't even know when it's bad to beat up an innocent man. I don't know how anyone could hear her talk like that and nod their head and be like, yeah, oh, great, you're so right. What a wise thing to say. No, she's stupid. Because she thinks you, black people, she thinks you're stupid. She thinks I'm stupid. She thinks that me and you are too dumb to know the difference between right and wrong. That's white supremacy, if you ask me. The very definition. I sure do hope Tyre Nichols' family gets some form of justice here. And I would hope that there can be a larger conversation about the standards we have for policing. Is police brutality an issue? Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously it happens because we've seen these cases now that are being widely reported. And anywhere where you have power, as we've seen through COVID, you'll have people abusing it. So why shouldn't we demand more sensitivity training or, you know, some kind of rotating system where police aren't on duty, you know, for so many days in a row, or that really it mutes their sense of right and wrong and mutes their compassion. Like, I don't know. I'm just a talker. I don't, obviously I'm not a police officer. I wouldn't take that job because I couldn't do it well. But I hope that this conversation spreads to that sort of solution. Instead of this whole thing, well, we just need more black people. And for some reason, if we just put more black people in charge, then everything will be better because black people are inherently noble, I guess we are. Is that the argument we're making? That's the argument that's being put out there. And that's dangerous. Tell me what you think of this whole thing. Maybe what the solution is. Maybe you're law enforcement and you have something to add to you know, what I've said about how Tyre Nichols was treated, how those police officers came to be the type of people that they were, the type of hires that they were. Maybe you have some light to shed on the situation, or you just want to get your opinion in. Write me at jlty@protonmail.com, jlty@protonmail.com. Let me know what you think. Don't forget, I've got a new book out, Drawing Lines, Why Conservatives Must Begin to Battle Fiercely in the Arena of Ideas. My shout out to my liberal BFF who bought the book. Bless his heart. He was like, I'm so proud of you, Kira. He's like, I just ordered the book and now I have to go hide in my basement and read it so no one knows I'm reading it. And I'm like, you're not going to like it. Why are you reading it? I told him not to read it, but he's like, but I'm so proud of you. I'm just going to read it anyway. So I actually... You know, I do talk in the book about how this book isn't for liberals. And I wrote that part in anticipation of him reading it. It's not written for you. It's obvious. It's right there in the title. So don't get too upset. I'm not speaking your language. I'm speaking the language of conservatives. I do have a book I want to write, though, to liberals. I do have that one batting around in my mind. But you can order that on Amazon. Or if you don't want to order it from the big box store, you can go to faithfultext.com. Search my name there. And order the book directly from the publisher. I think it might even be a little cheaper if you do it that way. And you can also, if you would like to just order a signed copy directly from me, those are a little more expensive. So the book on Amazon is $25. If you want a signed copy, it's $40. And that includes shipping and handling. And if you would like a signed copy of my book, just write to me and ask for a signed copy. jlty@protonmail.com, jlty@protonmail.com. And then we'll take care of payment over email. If you would like a signed copy, a personalized copy. And if you've read the book, if you've ordered it, please go to Amazon and review it. Give it a great review. That helps. And you can do the same for this show. Don't forget to listen to A Very Merry Podcast, my Christmas podcast all year long. Now with Amelia Hamilton, and my new podcast, How Inappropriate, will be debuting on February 14th. How Inappropriate, where we ask the question, could this movie be made today? I've got a lot of cool guests on there. We watch a movie. We talk about all the things that you could never do today. It's a lot of fun. It'll be debuting February 14th. There are older episodes that you can listen to now online. It was a show I used to do on my own years ago. When I got busy, I had to let it go. But now that I have a great support network in the FCB family, I told Darvio, I really want to resurrect this podcast. I loved doing it. So there's older episodes for you to listen to if you want to go check that out. What else? I don't know. I don't know what else. So I'm just going to say goodbye now. And I'll tell you this, until we meet again, every once in a while, just stop and listen to yourself. And I'm looking at you, Jemele Hill.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away.
Yeah.
So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away.
Yeah.
So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.
American culture is at a crossroads. I'm Kira Davis, and in my new book, Drawing Lines, Why Conservatives Must Begin to Battle Fiercely in the Arena of Ideas, I challenge conservative Americans to stop retreating from the culture. I help you think critically through the pressing cultural issues of our day and offer practical advice and solutions. It's time for conservatives to make themselves uncomfortable and get engaged, get inspired, get moving, and get winning. Pick up a copy of my book, Drawing Lines, available on Amazon, at FaithfulText.com or wherever books are sold.